whatever you may think, Major Ed Dames. Fact is, long before it happened, and what I'm referring to is this sun flare that scientists said can't be. It's never happened. It's astoundingly large, larger than in our wildest imagination, because you see, they had to launch the equipment that would monitor the sun. And so in their wildest imagination, they never imagined a flare that could be so much bigger than anything they had ever previously measured that their equipment was no good. He called it. He did call it. And here he is, Major Ed Dames. And I always want to give you an opportunity to plug whatever you're doing. You come here and pay us a visit, and I can pay you back this way. I know you've got an RV course.
Oh, I love to teach.
So how do people get involved? There's a phone number or something, or what can they order?
There are live operators if they need them, or they can order a DVD set. It's a very effective set.
You've got live operators at this hour?
I do.
There's like 411 on the East Coast, you know.
Oh, I make sure I use remote influencing to keep them awake.
And what can they order?
You can order my complete DVD set at learnrv.com, or they can call the following number.
Uh-huh.
Toll free, 1-866-607-8439.
1-866-607-8439, and they get a complete RV course?
That's right. Or they can just order the first DVD if they want to just test the waters, but it's cheaper to order the whole set. Also, there was a caller earlier in your show that asked about a lottery DVD. And
oh, yes.
They can go to rvlottery.com and look at that. But if they really want to see the payoff, they go into my community forum, which is at learnrv.com.
Uh-huh.
They can see my team members' actual winning tickets for the last few months.
All right. Well, this impresses me, Ed. Of course, you know, if you can teach somebody to actually hit the lottery numbers, now you've done something real serious. And you know what I was thinking, Ed, and maybe you can answer this. If you heard the first hour, then you heard me think it out loud. If you taught enough people to hit the lottery couldn't exist. So that must mean that what? People keep their mouths shut about it?
Actually, beyond three numbers, you know, the tickets that you see, actually, we have a couple of winning sports tickets there, too. You can teach. These are pretty easy to do. But beyond three numbers, it gets more difficult. Like my business partner, my friend, Brent Miller, wants to break the bank in one state. I'm not going to mention the state. Now, this is boring for me because, you know, I don't need anything. My life...
boring to me.
Yeah, I understand.
I said it's not boring to
I understand.
Me. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I understand. But he really wants to break the bank at a particular state. And I said, if you do that, they'll never have another lottery.
That's right.
Yeah, and there's one particular state that doesn't have any limits. It doesn't have any call. You know what I mean? It hasn't provided a backstop for them to pull out, so you can...
Is he going to do it?
He wants to. And,
do you believe he's going to do it?
Well, I've seen him do it many times in many other places. He'll need about 2 weeks straight to pull this off, and right now he's too busy with my stuff to take... I'm not going to give him 2 weeks off. So he's going to have to wait till I go back to the Ukraine and sneak one in. But this is kind of a joke in-house. I don't like my team members doing this, and yet they slip them in once in a while. So if you want to actually see the winning lottery tickets, they're posted in the forum.
Well, that, of course, appeals to, certain nature in people. And
well, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, when you first do it, remote viewing is fun, too. It's an adventure.
But your view, then, does match mine, that at least so far, until your friend carries out his threatened action, that people have been doing it, but keeping, basically, their mouths shut.
Except for my team members, because I like for my team members to be teachers, too. And I like for them to actually show, you know, to strut their stuff and walk the talk.
Well, how could you resist not displaying the fruits of their efforts?
I'm very proud of my students, and so I tolerate that, yes.
I see. All right, here they come. east of the Rockies. You're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question. You said earlier that you could target operating systems, correct?
What I was specifically referring to are the transistors and chips within computers, yes.
And you can do that at any time and at any distance?
Correct.
So I just happen to have a laptop here right next to me. Would you be able to target it?
Oh, you're offering your laptop up as a sacrificial lamb, sir? Is that correct?
Yes, yep.
I see. What kind of laptop is it?
It's a HP Pavilion.
Oh, that's expensive. Are you sure? Are you really sure you want to do it?
Not that expensive.
Oh, really?
Windows XP Home Edition is the operating system.
Okay, he's even telling you what the operating system is, Ed. Where are you located, caller?
Indiana.
Indiana.
Yep.
And let's have your address.
No. We don't need that.
Your social security number. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you know what? Could you do it, Ed?
Yes. We don't even need his name or his location or whatever. What we do is we take, because there's already chain of custody from my mind to the caller. So my unconscious knows knows the caller. So I can refer to the laptop he's referring to. I use that as my remote viewing target.
Then you're giving permission for it to be destroyed, right, caller?
Yes.
Yeah. It would take me 40 minutes to achieve lock on, to make sure lock on, and then probably another 15 to start the effect rolling.
All right.
But I would use two other viewers in tandem.
All right, let's
sure
do it. Let's do it, Ed. You don't even have to do it right now. I'll give you I'll give you a week.
What? Which one? His?
His laptop. Yeah. Would you mind killing his laptop?
I wouldn't mind at all, but I would rather take something where we make sure that we have an observable effect.
This caller is going to be honest as the day is long, right, caller?
Yes. If you
suffer a sudden catastrophic failure, you would report that to me, wouldn't you?
Yes. Well, I mean, what would that consist of? I mean, like a blue screen or?
Oh no, I mean, we're talking about a total disabling, crushing blow.
Actually, not necessarily. If the operating system can recover, or again, we're talking about a momentary clock loss where if the system can recover, the system can recover. But we would attack probably the clock and or the operating system itself.
What that means
is slowing down the magnetic field so that the computer would not work during the time we did that.
You willing to give it a try?
Am I?
Yes, Ed. Are you?
No, I'm not, because I have other things to do. But I'm saying that's what we would do. That's how we would handle that.
All right. Well, somebody else out there with the talent listening this morning, this man has just given permission for his computer to be destroyed. And so get him, guys. All right.
but don't do Larry King's pacemaker.
Caller, do me a favor. Do me a favor and report back to me the health of your operating system within the next week or so.
Yeah, sure will.
Have a good day, and thank you very much for calling and offering that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Hi, this is another Ed from the center of the Oregon coast.
Ed and Ed, okay.
That's right. And Art, you know, I appreciate it. I'm an insomniac. I have a seizure disorder, brain damage in the right front part of my brain, and you're a good man.
Thank you.
And two-part question. Number one, does Ed possibly, can he see what government agents listen to your show nightly and take notes and monitor everything? And number two, in regards to the Petri dish incident, cosmic energy, the universal energy passing through us even now as a conduit for said test.
Well, I don't know what cosmic energy is.
Well, the energy that's passing through us right now as we sit here.
Well, there's lots of energy. There's RF waves.
Right.
There's your local TV station. So I.
Well, the energy coming from the universe.
Coming from the universe. Well, let's see. You're part of the universe, too, so you're emanating energy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's
yes.
energy all around us.
Right.
And it's coming from the universe, you could say.
Okay.
And
so what was the question again, caller? My name's...
Well, I'm just wondering if that possibly could be the conduit for all, well, the distance between the two Petri dishes.
For me, anything's possible. I've seen lots of strange things.
Hmm.
Anything is possible.
Okay. But there is a conduit. There is a communication. It's happening somehow, more than just the coincidence of the shape or something or another symmetry of the object.
Well, we don't even understand the life force. I mean, how is that connected to? How do you turn life on? So, I don't want to know all the answers. I'm a simple man. I'd shoot myself if I knew all the answers. It takes the fun out of life.
Good morning. You're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes, I had some questions just about what advice you would have for young recruits.
Are you talking about students of mine?
Maybe possibly students or even, you know, working for the government or something like that.
Our government does not utilize PSYOPs anymore. It's utilized in video games and by the Matrix Intelligence Agency. That's it.
Okay. So then working for you, what advice would you have?
Well, it takes about 3 months to learn the basics of remote viewing, another 3 months to get good at it, and then about a year of practice against very, very difficult and complex systems to start to become good. So I wouldn't even consider hiring anyone until that point.
Okay. All right.
If you want to learn more, go to learnrv.com and talk to the professionals there. They'd be glad to talk to you about that, my team members.
Great. And then for personal, I guess, experiences or personal training or whatever, like your own explorations of it, would you advise using, like, different emotions like love or even certain, I don't know, not even like numbers or something like that to kind of lock onto to use as almost energy drivers?
No. It's all rigorous and disciplined and standardized, and those techniques are you can download those right now. I've got them on my website. You can see exactly. And you can download the manual, the guide to the LearnRV DVDs, and you'll see how we acquire a target.
Ed, how about the occasional savant in this area?
The
very natural psychics, yes.
Well, it was the natural psychics that we used in the Department of Defense to model this and turn it into a teachable skill. So when I teach them, as I mentioned before on past shows, when I teach a natural, then they can produce for a given period of time, let's say an hour, twice as much detail as someone like me could produce, who is not a natural. I'd have to do twice. I could still solve a problem in an hour, but I would not have as much detail as somebody who's naturally talented.
I would suppose that part of your job would be sort of a indescribable attempt or ability to manage gifted people, and that's not an easy job. I mean, to keep them focused and to sort of get into their mind.
I think that's. I don't know. You must be pretty perspicacious, because yes, I had that problem this week with somebody who knows who she is, a DVD student, and that's exactly the problem. They have to be managed because they produce so much data that they begin to lose the forest for the trees.
Yeah, I can see that would be your job. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, hi, Ed. This is Tom in San Diego. You had mentioned California and China, so I had two questions. One, are you coming back to San Diego?
I grew up in San Diego. I'm moving back to California from the islands. I've been in next week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I took your class down here. I loved it. My question was about China. You mentioned that children were being trained, and I was wondering if you've ever associated with some Montessori schools or some alternate education systems or even some prisons. I think children, you're right, are more open-minded, but prisons are a captive audience, to see if you can get some positive results out of those groups.
Hey, the military was a captive audience. These guys had to do whatever I wanted. So, yes, I've dealt with captive audiences before. You know, Sergeant Riley, sit down, put your pen on the paper, here we go.
Hey, caller, you're obviously one of Ed's students, huh?
Yes.
Okay. May I ask you, not planned, I just want to ask you, with your skill, how's it worked out? I mean, how did you do in class, and what are you doing with it now?
Well, I found that, you know, I'm an engineer.
Yes.
And I work with 40,000 different part numbers and so forth, and I'm a little too analytical to get out of my brain. I don't find that I have the patience to practice and to use it or lose it.
Did you, when you were in the course, did you get to the point, caller, where you absolutely believed that what was being taught was as real as breathing?
Yes, I got a sense that the group could accomplish something, and in fact, it had something to do with, you know, large tidal wave type of action, and I'd say 7 out of 10 were pretty much on target, and I was 50% of the way there by the end of the first day.
That's quite remarkable.
I have a question for you, Art. You know, years ago, you said you never wanted to learn this because there's some things you just don't want to know. Have you changed your mind?
No, I have not. I appreciate your question. The answer is no, I have not. I think that this ability is real. I guess I've thought that for a very long time now. It is real. But no, I don't want to know. There are some things, even many things, about the future that I don't want to know. I don't know why I don't want to know them, but I don't.
I'm the same way. I mean, let's take love life, for instance, or that kind of thing. I don't want to look at that. If I'm in a relationship, for instance,
yes,
I don't want to know if that relationship's going to fail.
Right.
No, really. You know, I'd rather
let it be a surprise.
Yeah. Who wants to know that kind of stuff?
Well, you're right. I mean, the moment you knew, it would sour it from then on. So really, that information is very harmful to your immediate well-being.
Yeah, or maybe I'm just a coward.
Well, maybe me too. In other words, I know I'm going to die, Ed. I'd rather not know the hour and the circumstance.
Nor would you want to know if your loved ones were going to be hurt or in an accident or those kinds of things. No. I'm not going to look.
And for the reasons that you and I are just talking about right now, we're unselling your product.
That's okay. I'd rather go with the truth than the product. You know, of course, my marketing agents are going to go through the roof on that one, but they know who I am. They know what I'm
about. On the other hand, lottery numbers are good.
Yeah, people have a lot of fun with that. When I first taught people how to do that, I had to discover the process too, and then I teach that process the RV lottery DVD was actually produced by my students. I didn't want any really part of it. I just liked to teach.
Really?
RV. Yes, it was produced by my students.
They got so enthusiastic by it.
Oh, yes, very enthusiastic.
From it, and I can understand that enthusiasm.
Especially
I really can.
When they win money, a lot of money.
No question about it. Sure, I could. So, if anybody did it, I'm sure they're just an absolute believer right now, aren't they?
Oh, they're happier than the pig, and you know what?
Uh huh.
They're very happy.
All right, we're going to pause here. Many, many more questions. Once again, Major Ed Dames. Major Dames, I just said something that I really do feel. This stuff coming out of Princeton is beginning to get overwhelming, and from other sources and scientists and people that I talk to, you know, legitimate theoretical physicists, they're all beginning to kind of cozy up together to this same concept, this same idea of the power of the mind. It's beginning to come from other sources now, therefore, I think that the wider public, general public consciousness is about to get invaded with this. I think it's going to be in the mainstream press soon on a regular basis. What do you think?
I think it will be a good thing. It will be the first time in probably the last 35 years that this thing that we call the unconscious part of our minds will finally be looked at anew as something that is important. And when unconscious was first suggested as an entity by the likes of Carl Jung, it was poo-pooed as, well, since we can't understand it, it probably isn't important.
Yes, but see, it's getting to the point where, understand it or not, we're beginning to get to where we can prove it.
In my business, we know that consciousness is just the tip of the iceberg. and the unconscious has it holds and stores and acts and reacts in ways that far surpass the capacity of conscious awareness. That's what we believe.
Well, you're way ahead of me there, but it does look like a lot of this that you talk about, as the basis of what you talk about, is getting ready to be kind of general public knowledge. First time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Hello?
Hello.
Something happened really strange about a week ago to my boyfriend, and I wonder if it's related to what you've been talking about. My first thought when I found out what it was there was some type of psychic or technology that was used to do this. He has a truck that has three seats in the front, the center part, the back of the seat folds down. It was folded down. He went to get gas for his car, didn't have any pockets, so he put the credit card on that center seat. When he got to the gas station, he hadn't got out of the car yet. The windows were rolled up. He went to reach for the credit card, and he could see a hand, like a transparent hand, where he could see the credit card through the hand, and it just whipped the credit card back, just like a vacuum, so fast, you know, it just was almost instant. He lifted up the back of the seat. There was nothing there, totally freaked out, came back home, got me. We started going through the truck. We went through the small area behind the seats. There was like one of the windshield visors that you put up, folded up back there. He pulled that up on the floor of the cab, up against the back wall, underneath this sun visor was the credit card. Almost like an attempt to take it had happened, but it didn't quite go through.
All right. Well, so then, Ed, remote interference.
No. That's an act of apportation.
Apportation. I'm sorry. That's
yeah,
right.
That's apportation at work. But that would have spooked the heck out of me, too. But that's what I mean by apportation, when something disappears right in front of your eyes and pops up somewhere else. Usually you have to look for it, and it's in the local area. That's an act of apportation.
And you think there will be more and more of this kind of thing that...
Well, I have no idea what the agency was behind that. I'd have to remote view it.
Yes, I understand. Nevertheless, the fact that it is now being done means that Murphy is going to make his way on more than usual rounds.
Yeah, I think Murphy's operating... I think the Earth is going through some changes here, and I don't understand them, but... I think we're in for Mr. Toad's wild ride.
Oh, I'm with you on that one. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Happy 6-0, Art from Sedona, Arizona.
Thank you.
Hey, Major Dames, a comment quickly about the fall of the Soviet Union, and then I'd like to ask a question concerning China. Your mentor, Ingo Swann, and his coherency theory of consciousness to make positive changes, well, I see that in the world of music. For example, a Russian sociologist and author, Artomy Trotsky, said, "The Beatles have done more for the fall of communism than any other Western institution." And then watching this DVD, Paul McCartney in Red Square, just today, before 100,000 Russians, including President Putin in 2003, confirms it for me. Because the DVD has interviews of Russians within this program, and they talk about this coherent nature of this music in the 60s and 70s that sort of instilled a sense of real freedom in millions of people to where this communistic propaganda fell flat.
That's fascinating. Yeah. That's fascinating, and it may be right, Ed.
I don't know enough about the subject, nor have I studied anything in terms of the sociological impact and to really be able to comment intelligently.
All right. Well, I think it's a fascinating concept. Caller, what about China?
Well, why would China want to upset such a large market as the USA for their economy and buying our treasury notes in favor of remote influencing?
Oh, very good question. Ed, they're, on the one hand, tied up with us. I mean, they have our bonds. If we got in trouble, if they did something awful to us, they'd be in trouble too, right?
China has 50-year plans. The Russians had 15, and East Germans had 15-year plans. America has 1 to 5-year plans. China is in it for the long run. We're going to go to war with China. China is going to come out on top no matter how you cut it. And the war may be economic and probably will be, but they're going to win. So they have to be also prepared to win a real battle, a real war
you
as
see,
well.
You're answering a question I asked you earlier in the program, and that was about the Chinese mind. Here's one really major difference. You're telling me they think and plan in 50-year cycles, something we don't even come close
That's
to doing.
Right.
That's a major difference in...
And when it happens, it's too late. When you know that what they have, they've already won. That's the way the Chinese are. They're super quiet. They're super secretive. And by the time you know what's happening to you, it's too late. And that's what's going to happen to us.
Got it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, sir.
Well, I'm calling from a suburb of Philadelphia, but having to listen to you on a station from Reading, Pennsylvania, because the Philadelphia station doesn't carry you on Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm a personal believer in this stuff, and I had a personal experience with someone similar to the woman that you see on the television show Medium. I had her apartment robbed, and she helped me find my stuff. She described these three people that lived right around the corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I believe this stuff, but that's not why I'm calling. What have you and your people done on trying to find Osama bin Laden?
Huh. Well, that's certainly a long story, isn't it, Ed?
It's a long one, yeah. Could we pinpoint Osama bin Laden? We know that he was injured. We know that he's alive. Could we pinpoint him? Yes, we can. But I don't want to get into why we don't do it anymore, because that we're asked that question all the time. I just don't want to deal with Mr. bin Laden anymore.
Well, you got stung.
We were under such pressure to find him. Well, the first thing we did at 9/11, I think most of your listeners know, I went after, within 36 hours, my team had pinpointed that I wanted to know who financed the attack. That was my target. Where did the financing come from? And so that it took about 24 hours to have sketches of a target, and another few hours, probably six, to identify the target as the tomb of Ahmad Shah Durrani, the original architect of Kandahar, and the underground bunker complex, which was the command post for the financiers of that attack. That's mm-hmm. when we knew that it was financed from Afghanistan.
Ed, are you familiar with the NBC show Medium?
I don't watch television.
You don't watch TV? It's about a real person, Ed, named Alison Dubois. And she, in real life, works with both local and federal agencies, and quietly, for example, works for a prosecutor, Ed, and is able to discern the truth about an alleged incident, for example, and you can see the use to a prosecutor of somebody of those talents. Anyway, this TV show is based on what she does. And I wonder, do you have any sense, Ed, of how many Alison Dubois, I'm dying to interview the lady, the real Alison Dubois, but do you have any idea how many of these Alison Dubois quality people are scattered across the U.S. that we don't know about?
I think there's quite a few of them. It's just that with natural talent, the reason we could not use people like her in the military was because their work wasn't consistent, and we were dealing with life or death situations where deadly force would be used, which is a lot different than the prosecutor asking for leads. You know, we had to develop something, and we did, that would be able to guide Delta Force in and tell them where to shoot as soon as they busted through the door.
Yeah, I've got it.
And so we had to be much more exacting. But as far as the naturals out there, there's a whole bunch of them. Most of them are quiet.
Many of them working quietly for, you know, in jobs like that, for example.
No. Many of them hiding from people because they don't want others to know what they can do, or becoming schizophrenic because they can't control what they have.
True enough. I would think such a talent would be maybe more of a burden to the person experiencing it than a blessing.
So many people I've met think that they want that kind of talent, but I'm telling you from what I've dealt with in my 21-year career, it can be a curse as well as a blessing.
I bet. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Good evening, Art Bell and Major Ed Dames. My name is Suleiman. I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Okay.
And I am a world event psychic. I am one of those individuals that you were just talking about. I have that talent. And first, I want to say happy birthday to you, Art, and my condolences in regards to your cat.
Thank you for both.
And Art, I want you to know that I've used my abilities. I have a lot of cats and dogs and some magnificent animals that have passed. And I want you to know that I've seen the other side. Absolutely beautiful. And I communicate with my animals constantly and always know.
Okay, do you have a question from the mayor?
Yes, I do.
Good.
In regards to you, Mr. Dames, I think going back to California might be a mistake. I'd like to know, it, with your remote viewing, have you seen the earthquakes that I saw that's coming up, the potential of North Korea striking California, especially Los Angeles? Do you see any of those events taking place in the very near future?
All right. Nope. The earthquake question is really good. And you think not, huh?
No. The last show, I said that the next real catastrophe, the next danger in terms of natural catastrophes is the eruption of Mount Tarawera and the North Island of
New
Zealand.
That's right. Yes, you did. And North Korea. North Korea, you've spoken about, of course, for years now.
Mm-hmm. They're going to test the nuke, and then they're going to use one.
They're going to test it, then they're going to use one.
Yeah, they're going to up the ante in terms of nuclear blackmail. I think that will happen soon by testing one, and then eventually they'll use one on the Korean Peninsula.
Well, surely if they test one, the world will quake. I mean, politically, it will quake. There's no question about it.
And the U.S. will saber rattle and up the ante in terms of militaristic behavior, not nuclear blackmail, and that will drive them to actually use one. It'll be a rationale for them to use one.
Got it. Good morning. You're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Ed. It's Clark in Calgary.
Yes.
It goes to intention. If everybody say we went through a 3-year drought and we've just had maybe a 1 in 500 year rain, the water's going over the dams and people are flooding out. They've never seen anything like that before. Never. So it goes to the idea with regards to the kill shot that if you have a group of people who want to call down, say, hellfire and brimstone, and that is somehow interpreted or transmuted or the energy going out to influence, say, the sun for this kill shot, hasn't somebody kind of just shot themselves in the foot?
No group that I know of has called for hellfire and brimstone to come down from the sky. Do you know of a group like that?
It's just, you know, well, not necessarily hellfire and brimstone, but just say hatred. You know, as an emotion, as the group psyche, you know, the great subconscious, that then may, you know, grossly influence or even mildly influence a pattern that would then exaggerate itself.
You know, here's one for you, Ed. We're thought of by many in the world as the great Satan, right?
Correct.
The United States, we're interfering, meddling in the Middle East. We're actually moving people to strap on, you know, explosives and blow themselves up almost on a daily basis now in Iraq. In other words, there is a very great deal of bad ill will or intent, if you will, pointed at us. How's that liable to affect the very complex thing that is the United States of America?
Well, I think unconscious, mind is outside of time, too. So if you go back to something like the Crusades, where we went in and that was... You know what the Crusades did.
Sure.
In terms of that part of the world. Maybe this idea of karma and payback is true. The sins of the fathers are visited upon them, the seventh sons of the seventh generation, blah, blah, blah. Maybe all that's true. Because mind outside of time. And payback can be delayed, but what goes around comes around. I mean, I will tell you, it was a personal experience. There was a Wednesday morning and that first desert storm, where we killed a whole lot of sons and fathers and brothers, a whole lot, unnecessarily, and that's why I resigned my commission. And I knew that payback would come. In fact, I told my colleagues, I said, guys, this is bad karma. This is really, and this is going to come back and get us too. And CNN was not there that morning.
No, they weren't.
And the American public will never know what happened that
morning. I've heard stories that, actually, you know, I heard there were a couple of videos that aired in the first hours of that war that they aired one time, and then, like somebody threw a switch, Ed, they didn't air again. These involved helicopters mowing people down. These involved earth-moving equipment burying people alive, that kind of thing.
This one was far worse, far worse.
I heard those stories that they actually did air and then got yanked. So
this one, nobody was there to see this one.
Yeah. One last fast one. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Danes. Hi.
Yeah. Hey, Art. Hey, Ed. This is William from Portland. I was wondering, Ed, you've mentioned a couple of times that you never watch TV. Do you find that television might degrade your ability to perceive or to use remote viewing?
Yeah, very good question. Is it a mindless monster that affects your abilities, Ed?
I can't stand it. I can't stand the sound bite, the music, the average. I just cannot stand it. It's just not something I like. I'm just personal opinion. I like peace and quiet. And television, my idea of purgatory is to tie me at a stake and watch car commercials, you know.
How then do you feel about the movie with Ben Kingsley that was made about what you do?
Well, he didn't play me. I was just his coach.
Well, I know, but I mean generally the subject of remote viewing.
I don't really care how the Hollywood portrays it. I just had so much fun, you know, making that movie and meeting Tom Cruise's partner and working with his company, and for me the fun eclipsed any the way they portrayed it. And I mean, it was such an honor to train Kingsley, and it removed me from my real life stuff, which is kind of gloomy. So it was a chance to have fun, that's all.
Well, that's true. Certainly a different world. All right, buddy, we're out of time. Again, as always, thank you so very much, Ed, and I will see you next time, buddy.
The pleasure is mine, my friend.